An abortion procedure begins and then the mother changes her mind. We'll talk with a doctor and his patient next on Gospel of Life. Hello, I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. We're joined by our Associate Director, Janet Morana, and by one of our medical advisors, Dr. Matt Harrison, who is our guest today from Charlotte, North Carolina. Dr. Harrison, welcome to the program.
Thank you for asking me to be here today.
Great to be with you. And Janet, of course, we were with Dr. Matt and his family not long ago in North Carolina. Tell us a little bit about your practice and your background.
Okay. Our practice is Northgate Family Medicine. We're just north of Charlotte. We're a pro-life practice that also serves some of the crisis pregnancies that we run into. We do have women that come up from the abortion mills, and we offer them delivery services to give them a chance to be able to bring life to their children. Mm-hmm. So it's a really exciting time in our practice. We're growing, and the community is responding and being very supportive. We're really excited about what's going on.
We recently spoke about an amazing case that came your way recently, and we want to talk about that today together with your patient who was involved, who's going to be joining us by phone. And this had to do with RU486, and she took RU486 and then changed her mind. Before we speak with her and talk about what happened after that, tell us a little bit about how RU486 actually works.
Sure. RU486 is a very, very potent progesterone inhibitor. The way this works is similar to the way a key and lock work for just a common door. So you can have a key that can fit into the lock but not turn it. You can have a key that would fit into the lock and turn it. Then you might have other keys that won't fit into the lock at all. So RU46 would be the key that fits into the lock but doesn't turn and unlock the door. So when this is taken by a woman, it does two things. It fits into the lock but doesn't turn the key and therefore does not have the same effect that progesterone does on the woman's body and developing uterus fetus. And then the other thing is that it shuts down the woman's natural ability to put off progesterone. And so therefore, placenta will not develop properly, will actually separate away, and the baby will die.
Essentially, the baby is dying from starvation, right?
Exactly, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Now, how quickly does that happen when you say the placenta, you know, doesn't... I mean, this is in the first couple weeks of pregnancy, right?
That yes, RU486 is FDA approved to be given under 8 weeks gestational age. And so most women will get it somewhere around six, seven, 8 weeks of pregnancy. But it works rather quickly within the first 2 to 3 days of taking the medication. And then a woman is given 4 Cytotec pills, which are placed inside the woman that she usually does at home. And this induces labor to expel the new baby.
We're going to talk with your patient in just a moment, but you know, you just mentioned 8 weeks or under of gestational age. I mean, we're talking about babies who, I mean, sometimes people think RU486, chemical abortion, well, you know, it's just an unformed mass of cells. No, we're talking here about babies whose hearts are beating, and by gestational age of 8 weeks, I mean, we're talking about most of the organs are already present. I mean, you could see the human form of this child. And just to put this in perspective for the viewers, we're talking about we're not talking about some kind of early microscopic killing of children.
Yes, this baby, just like the rest of us, just needs to be nourished and to grow, mm-hmm. and that's at that stage.
Well, we have Ashley with us on the telephone, calling in from North Carolina. And Ashley, it's great to be with you this morning. Thank you for joining the program.
You're welcome.
Now, Dr. Matt, tell us in conversation here with Ashley, what happened when she came to you?
Good morning, Ashley.
Hey.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank
Ashley, why don't you tell us just briefly your circumstances before you went to take RU46, and then what happened just before you came to our clinic?
Well, I realized I was pregnant, and I took the test with my boyfriend, and he didn't want me to have her, and he just told me all this stuff, like, I wouldn't be able to go to school, and I wouldn't, my parents would be mad at me, I wouldn't be able to have a job, and I gave in to it, and I actually believed him, and then I went to the place and got the pill, and then they told me that I had to take, like, 4 more. And I didn't tell my parents about it until, like, the day I was supposed to take the other pills.
And how long had you been in a relationship with your boyfriend?
3 years.
And did he come with you to the abortion?
No.
Okay. All right.
So they gave you, so you took the RU486 drug right there at the abortion facility?
Yes.
Right. Okay. Now, Dr. Harrison, usually, how many days have to go by before then the patient would take the Cytotec?
Usually 3 days.
Okay.
Now, so Ashley, then, when you were in the abortion clinic, how did they confirm your pregnancy? Did they do an ultrasound or?
Yeah, they did an internal ultrasound.
Okay. And did they let you see that?
No.
Or how about hear the heartbeat?
No.
Okay.
They didn't tell me anything about cardiac activity or anything. All they did was say that I was 7 weeks pregnant and that they could do it.
Well, we do know from the documentation from their clinic that they did see heart activity. So then, so you left the clinic and you went home, and then what happened over the next 2 days?
Well, on my way home, I was like feeling so bad. I was like, what have I done? And then, I didn't tell my parents about it because my boyfriend kept on saying, everything's going to be okay. We're not supposed to have baby at this early. And so I just went and told my mom about it, and she directed me to pregnancy crisis and told me not to take the pills. She said for me to call back that lady and ask her if there was a way that I didn't have to take them.
You mean the lady at the abortion facility?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you called the abortion facility, what did they tell you?
They basically told me to shut up and take the pills. They said that the baby would probably come out with missing a leg or a arm and wouldn't be healthy. And then I called a pregnancy crisis center, and then they directed me to Dr. Harrison, and then I came over there, and he said I could start taking progesterone shots. Hmm.
So you came to our clinic, and it was the first time that you had been to our clinic. And, you know, when you told me your story, I was just really amazed at your courage. Really was very encouraging to me. And I was very excited that you were so protective of your new baby. And it was really a blessing to us in our clinic. And when we were trying to figure out what to do, if you remember correctly, I literally had to step out of the office, out of the room with you. And I went out into my office and prayed, literally prayed and asked if God could give me some type of insight as to what to possibly do in this situation. And when searching for a possible antidote to this RU46, I remembered about its method of action. And Danny Holland, who's my partner in the practice, is a Creighton medical consultant certified through Pope Paul VI Institute. And he has progesterone in the office that we use for supplementation for women who have fertility problems. So we came up with the idea of giving her progesterone to try to counteract and really outcompete. In other words, putting more good keys into her system to outcompete the bad keys that were in there not making the lock turn. Mm-hmm. So that's what we did, right, Ashley?
Yeah.
And we were kind of nervous, weren't we?
Yeah.
What were your thoughts? I mean, I know that you were really scared, and you were afraid that you might bleed. You were afraid that this could possibly even hurt you, but you were willing to take that chance, weren't you?
Yes.
That was wonderful.
That is courageous, and because you knew there were risks. And Dr. Matt, this was the first time you had ever encountered a situation like this, right? Someone takes RU-486, then changes her mind before she takes the Cytotec and ends up at your doorstep.
Exactly. I mean, and it's a very effective drug. 5 to 8%, only 5 to 8% of women who take RU-486 then have to are required to have a surgical abortion.
Right.
So it's very effective. Yeah. So actually that weekend, you actually started to spot and bleed a little bit, didn't you?
Yeah.
And what did you think was going to happen?
Well, I thought maybe the abortion was going through, but it only bled for just a little bit. So, mm-hmm. And I didn't know what it was, and I just went up there.
And how did
the office.
Right. How did you feel when you got that ultrasound and saw that heart beating?
I felt relieved that she was okay.
Wow. And then you required progesterone shots about twice a week, right? About halfway through your pregnancy?
Yes.
Great.
And then what happened?
Well, Ashley, you tell us. You tell us what happened.
Well, then pretty soon I didn't even have to have the progesterone shots anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess my progesterone level started going up and going back to normal, and then I didn't have to take them anymore.
Ashley, how did you feel the first time you felt the baby kick?
I was happy. I was, because she was moving around, and when I seen the ultrasound, I seen that she had all her legs and arms and feet and hands, and I was just thinking about what that other doctor had said, that she'd be missing stuff, and she wasn't missing anything.
Wow. And how did you feel at the delivery?
Oh, I cried. Because I was so happy she was okay.
And what's your baby's name?
Kaylee.
And Kaylee now is how old?
She'll be 3 months and on the 7th of June.
And healthy.
And
mm-hmm.
healthy.
Healthy and normal.
Yes, and actually, Dr. Holland, who actually did the delivery that weekend, sent the placenta to the pathologist to examine it. And the placenta was perfectly healthy, nothing wrong with the placenta, no inflammation or any of the kind of common things that you might see. Kaylee was perfectly healthy and has been perfectly healthy and is growing and doing everything she needs to do.
That is amazing. So it's an RU-486 rescue. I mean, this is not something we hear about very often. Ashley, this is a wonderful thing that you're coming on with us today, because what you're doing by sharing your story is encouraging many other people. You're encouraging other doctors. You're encouraging other young ladies in your situation to have the strength to turn around and to seek help, even when others might be saying it's too late. And I would like you, Ashley, to just take a moment now, talk to whoever might be listening right now to our program, who might be in the same situation that you were. She might be on her way to the abortion facility. She might have already taken RU-486. And then that voice inside of her is saying, no, I did the wrong thing. I love my baby. I have to stop. What would you say, as someone who's now been through this and whose baby has been born healthy, what would you say to other young women who might be faced with that exact same situation?
That they don't have to go through with it, that they just need to go to the pregnancy crisis center, and that they'll point them in the direction of a doctor that can help them.
Yes, it's wonderful. Well, we're going to take a little break here, and then we're going to come back with some final thoughts on this beautiful story of a life saved. So please stay with us.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion, the most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? A message from Priests for Life.
The decision to have an abortion not only affects that moment in your life.
Kristen Gordon.
It affects many precious moments to come.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
Well, welcome back. We've been talking with Dr. Matt Harrison, one of our medical advisors, and Janet Moran, our associate director, together with Dr. Matt's patient, Ashley, and her baby, who was saved from almost being aborted through RU486. A marvelous story that we have heard here. Ashley took the drug in the abortion facility, then changed her mind, did not take the second drug, Cytotec, which would have induced the contractions, but rather went to Dr. Harrison, and now this baby is born and living and healthy. What a beautiful thing.
If you notice what Ashley said, though, she said her boyfriend didn't want her to have the baby because it was going to affect her work, her education. She was afraid to go to her mother, right? I mean, those are all the reasons that we say the girl's in crisis. That's why they go for, you know, she wasn't claiming her right to choose, I don't want to be a mom, let me just get this RU486. She was nervous, she was upset, she was confused, she was frightened, she was being pressured. But then after she took the pill, she went home and felt such guilt that she finally told her mother. And what did her mother do? She didn't kick her out of the house, she didn't get upset, she said, let's call a pregnancy help center and mm-hmm. see what we can do.
They all did the right thing.
Yeah.
A wonderful Christian family. I've met her parents personally. They would have supported her in any way they could have. And it is wonderful to see their love for their daughter and their granddaughter.
Yeah, exactly.
But so many girls are afraid to go to their moms.
Yes.
You know, and here this was exactly what happened with this girl. Thank God she got that courage at that last moment and reached out to her mother, who then... the pregnancy center connected her with you. And, I mean, it's a miracle.
I'm going to ask in a moment, Ashley, just one more question. But, Dr. Matt, what does this mean for other doctors? Now, what can you say to other practitioners who might be faced with these similar situations? Obviously, we're not in a situation where we can do a series of experiments and
sure.
tests on this.
Sure.
But what you tried worked.
Sure did. And I think what is very important for everyone to realize, doctors, patients, sidewalk counselors, is that you have to keep the concept of it's never too late. It's never too late to make an effort to save a life. And if you have that attitude, and if you live in the culture of life instead of being defeated at every turn and accepting defeat, then you can make these proactive steps towards saving a life. And so people on outside of an abortion clinic can take this. Even though a woman has gone in to get an abortion, they still pray. They still hope
yes.
that there's going to be salvation of that life
yes.
to come back out of that clinic. Same when a woman comes into a doctor's office, has already started the procedure for an abortion. A doctor can still practice medicine with a culture of life that says, I'm going to try to save that life.
Yeah.
The mama's life and the baby's life, they're both important. Why can't we save them both?
Exactly. Well, thank you for doing so, and thank you, Janet. And Ashley, tell us what kind of schooling you're going to be undertaking very soon.
Oh, I'm going to be in the nursing program next fall.
Wonderful. We're going to be praying for you, and we look forward to getting together with you in the future. And thanks again for sharing your testimony today.
Thank you. Thank you.
And thank you, brothers and sisters, for watching. Stay with us now, because you'll learn how you can support our ministry, and also we'll have our action segment coming up where you can learn even more ways that you can build a culture of life. Spread this beautiful story that you heard today so that we can encourage many others to choose life, to pray for life, and to save life. Stay with us.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the powerful booklet called Pro-Life Answers. This will equip you to answer any argument that abortion supporters throw your way. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD of the Silent No More awareness campaign. You will watch the testimonies of women and men who have lost children to abortion, but who have found healing through the blood of Christ and have proclaimed that healing on the public streets of America. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll include an autographed copy of Father Frank Pavone's book, Ending Abortion, Not Just Fighting It. This book will provide numerous insights into the pro-life cause, such as those you learn on these programs. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Welcome, my friends, to our action segment. 2008 is the year of a presidential election in the United States, and many other public officials will also be elected to office. And Janet and I would like to talk to you now about some concrete action that you need to be taking today, not waiting until election day or even a few weeks or months before election day. Janet, really, the engines of the 2008 presidential election have already been running for quite some time.
Yeah, and all you have to do is turn on the evening news, and you'll see that fact, because I don't think a day goes by when you don't see something about the elections on both sides of the aisle, Democrat and Republican, and they're talking about candidates, they're talking about issues, and so people have to start really getting engaged now. You can't wait till the end.
And to realize that what happens now is what really affects who's going to end up running for president, because we are in right now the pre-nomination phase of this election. But it's now that people can have the most influence, particularly in states where the primaries and the caucuses are early. And let's just review this for people, because it's so crucial. The question of who's going to be on the ballot on Election Day in 2008 is really a question that's being answered right now as the various candidates try to compete for their party's nomination. And the party's nomination is determined state by state in the activities in that state, whether it's primary elections, where there's a state-run election to choose the nominee, or caucuses and conventions, where the members and leaders of the parties in those states come together, and each state has its particular process whereby that nominee is chosen. Very important for people to be involved now at the state level and influence that process.
Yeah, very often people look to the national conventions, which we know will be like, think for the Democrats in July of 2008, and the Republicans, I think it's the very early days of September 2008. And somehow I think people think that that's when the candidate is decided.
But it's being decided right now.
But now is the beginning. The ground game is beginning, as they say.
And it's very important for people not to fall into the way of thinking that, well, because the media says this person raised more money or that person's a front runner, well, oh, I guess they are. No, a lot of things can still happen between now and even when the primaries begin at the beginning of 2008. What happens is, as these various states have, for example, straw polls that'll be coming up in various states, the candidate who wins a straw poll ends up getting a lot of free media. And people look, and that may be the first time that they come to know who that candidate is, and then they'll say, well, this person seems to have some momentum, let's get behind him. And then donors will kick in and people will start to support the person once they hear what he has to say. The point is that in particular states, for example, in Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina, and a lot of other states that are moving up their primaries earlier and earlier, a small number of people can make a big difference. And organizations, even ones that are not political, but issue-oriented organizations like our own, that are C3 tax-exempt entities, can also have a big influence if, for example, you run ads, let's say in New Hampshire or in other states, to get people focused in on what issues matter the most.
Well, the first thing they need to do then is to look at all the candidates that are being spoken about right now and see which one really is the best one for the life issue. And you can do that. First of all, some of these candidates that are running have already held public office. Mm-hmm. They have a voting record.
That's public information.
That's public information. See, you can't be fooled by listening to the rhetoric that's on TV right now. Instead, you've got to research the candidate's voting record, and that will tell you where they really stand.
Well, there's a website called Real Clear Politics that is very helpful, and also another one called Politics1, the number one. .com. And of course, our special election website, politicalresponsibility.org, will lead people to many of the resources that they need. The key is get involved now. The election has already begun, and now you can have a tremendous influence.
That's right.
Brothers and sisters, politicalresponsibility.org. Please be sure to visit that website and download the information there on the issues, on how to find information about the candidates, and more about the process, because understanding the process which leads up to having a nominee for president is critical to being able to exercise the most influence you can on that process. And it's happening right now. We're going to be back with many messages over the coming weeks and months related to the election, so please be sure to tune in next week for Gospel of Life.
Not until people saw images of children in coal mines did they enact child labor laws. Not until people saw images of human torture did they rise up against slavery. And now, after seeing these images, what will you do? Priests for Life. Because America will never reject abortion unless America sees abortion. Call now to learn how you can help.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought I would lose my job.
My boyfriend told me to choose between him and the baby.
I was already struggling to care for one child, so I had an abortion.
I had trouble conceiving again.
I tried to commit suicide.
I started to have nightmares.
You see, abortion didn't solve our problems.
It just created different ones.
That's why we are silent no more.
We found help in healing, and you can too. Call or go online today.
There is a crisis in America. A Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the powerful booklet called Pro-Life Answers. This will equip you to answer any argument that abortion supporters throw your way. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign. You will watch the testimonies of women and men who have lost children to abortion, but who have found healing through the blood of Christ and have proclaimed that healing on the public streets of America. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll include an autographed copy of Father Frank Pavone's book, Ending Abortion, Not Just Fighting It. This book will provide numerous insights into the pro-life cause, such as those you learn on these programs. Please call, write, or make your gift online today. Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.